How's everyone doing? It's the Friday before Halloween. Everyone's getting all excited. Grogu has his costume half done.
Oh yeah, look at him punking. He's punking it up.
Good job, Grogu. Hey, we all hope you all had a great week. Todd and I have been busy training. Today we just wrapped up a new course, a product backlog management course that we had a lot of fun teaching. Todd, I hope that thing becomes a regular thing, don't you?
Yeah, super fun. I learned a lot today.
And a question came out of that class. We had a student ask a really good question, and we thought, you know what? Let's just fire that question right in here because I think it led to a good conversation. So here it is. How should a Scrum team work with an architect? Todd, what's your experience here? I know you've held the role of architect. I've never been in that kind of space. And so what's that interaction look like to you?
So I think before we get maybe into that, I'm just going to mention something you and I have talked about quite a bit. I picked it up on the audiobook of Extreme Ownership, the book by Jocko Willink and Leif Babin. Great book. Awesome book. In that, I don't know if it's actually referenced in the book when you read it, but I know it's in the audio version of it, which has some extras in it. They mention this concept called battlefield aloofness.
Yep.
And what happens during battlefield aloofness is when someone is far removed from a situation, but intent on making decisions, the people on the ground that are living it tend to have resentment towards that person.
Yep.
Why am I mentioning this? Because that's what tends to happen with architects. They're far removed from a situation, yet flying in and intent on making decisions. And so you have people that are resentment and you're living with solutions that don't necessarily fit the context of where we're working. So I'm going to start there and stop. And I'm going to let you speak today, Ryan.
All right. So I think with the understanding of battlefield aloofness, our goal should be to reduce that distance. Right. To reduce that gap in understanding. And so we do that through, I think, empirical process control is great for that. We did a video a few days back about, you know, the principles and values of Scrum. We talked about empiricism in there. Go back and watch that. That's a core video, because I think if you leverage empiricism, you can get the architect right in step and in line with the Scrum team. Mm-hmm. And I think the cleanest way to do that, the way that I've handled this in my past lives and careers and all that, I've invited the architect to sprint planning and I've invited the architect to sprint review, right? Get them involved in the early planning of the sprint. Let them speak into your plan. Show them how you're going to keep organizational guidelines and architectural rules intact through your sprint backlog. And then in sprint review, show them, we met our definition of done. We followed the policy. Do you have any suggestions on how we could have done this better? Treat them like a stakeholder. And I find that shortens the gap. It gets them involved. It kind of pulls them. The premise of the ivory tower, it pulls them out of the tower. It puts them in the work with you. And I can't think of a better way to make their needs and the Scrum team needs well understood, transparent, than actually including them in those two Scrum events, planning and review.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good option. I think that is a really good option. You know, I think another option is to have them on a Scrum team.
Yeah.
Right. Have them on the battlefield with the developers, right? To kind of play on this extreme ownership reference. Not that software development is on a battlefield or product development. Hopefully it's not. But I think you have them there and you have them, you know, as you're working and building things, making real-time decisions on how the future of the architecture should look. And, you know, they're just taking on a little bit of a different lens. You know, they're the developer of the architecture, just as like we have a developer of test cases and developers of code. I just want to make sure we're avoiding this ivory tower stuff, which I've just seen cause and wreak so much havoc in organizations. So I think that's another option. And I don't think there's one size fit all solution for this. I think all the circumstances that you're in are different, all the company sizes and the way companies are structured are different. And I think I think we've offered two good options. I'm curious what other things.
You know what? I think this is where the comments section comes into play. How have you handled your interactions with architects while working on your projects? Let us know in the comments, right? Let us know what you think of our ideas. Let us know what you've tried. I'm sure all of you out there have had some great experiences here too. Be sure to like and subscribe. Maybe we'll do a follow-up on this based on what people say. But Todd, I think it's end screen time.
End screen.
Here we go. Like I said, be sure to like and subscribe. You don't want to miss any videos. Check out the socials. Some YouTube videos are going to pop up at the bottom. The algorithm thinks you'll like them. We do too. But for Todd Miller, I'm Ryan Ripley, wishing you a happy, safe, and scary Halloween.
Yes.
Get out there. Have a good time. Ooh-ha. Watch some scary movies. We'll be back on Monday with another episode of Your Daily Scrum, unless a ghoul or ghost gets us. But hopefully that doesn't happen. Leave us your comments, like, and subscribe. Let us know how we did. Go forward. Do some great things. Have fun this weekend. We'll see you Monday.